Okay, we're learning Maseches Kedushin, Pei Amud Beis and Pei Aleph Amud Aleph. A big shout out to David Friedenberg in Upper West Side. We miss him very much. We're learning the sugya of Yichud. This daf and a half about, is basically the primary daf for all of Hilchos Yichud. About three different mini sugyas in here of all of Hilchos Yichud. It's mentioned also in the Gemara in Sota, and we're actually going to mention the whole part in the Gemara in Sota is in our Gemara as well. So really, this is a superset of everything. This is just about the last daf of Kedushin. Kedushin ends on Pei Beis Amud Beis, so we're about a daf and a half away from the end of Kedushin. Okay. Sorry. So we're in the Mishnah. We have a good spot over here. The Mishnah at the top of the page. Ready?
Go ahead.
Lo yizyached Adam im shtei nashim, aval isha achas misyachedes im shnei anashim. You can't have one man with two women alone, secluded, but one woman can have yichud, can be secluded with two men. Rabbi Shimon Omer, af isha achad misyached im shtei nashim. Rabbi Shimon says, no, that's okay too. You're allowed to have one man with two women. In what circumstance, though? Bizman sheishto imo, as long as his wife is there. In other words, one of the women is his wife. So he's allowed to be alone with his wife and one other woman. That's okay. All right, that's the first halacha. Then it continues. V'yashin imayen papundaki mimdei sheishto mishamarto. And in that situation, he's also allowed to sleep in the same, in the same hotel room with them. Yashin and Bakir that's what it says. The last halacha is Misyachid Adam Imo Vimvito, Yashin Imayan Bakir Basar. You're allowed to obviously have yichud with your mother or with your daughter, meaning just you and your mother and just you and your daughter, and you're even allowed to sleep with them in the same bed. And even if you're not both clothed, but this is obviously not talking about you with your mother. This is you with your daughter. But once the girl gets to a certain age, it's no longer appropriate. And then she has to wear clothes and you have to wear clothes. You can still sleep in the same bed, but you have to be wearing clothes. In other words, as long as the girl don't know exactly what age it is, but you can all figure it out by thinking about it. At a certain point, it becomes inappropriate to sleep without clothes on, but until that point, it's okay. And then you're allowed to sleep in the same bed, but with clothes on. All right?
At that time, they used to sleep without clothes on.
I don't know. I mean, it comes up often, so I guess so. I guess to a certain degree. I don't even know if it means totally naked or if it just means, I don't know, underwear or something like that. I actually don't know. Okay? So that's the Mishnah. Seder? Okay, we'll jump into the Gemara. So the Gemara's first question is, my taima what? What's the reason? What's the question? What does Rashi say? The first question is about the first clause. What's the difference between whether there's two women and one man?
Or
two men with one woman? What's the difference? Why is one of them aser and the other is okay? And even Rabbi Shimon agrees that it's that way. He just says that if one of the women is your wife, then it's okay. But why is there a difference between whether it's two women and one man? Or one woman with two men? And here's the famous line. It's because, literally speaking, because the minds of women are light. They're lightheaded. And what does that mean? So we know what Rashi says. What does Rashi say? Daitan kala alehen, ushtehen nochos lispatos. Pitui, seduction. In other words, what we mean when we say it, at least in this context, is that women are more easily seduced than men are. Does that sound accurate?
No.
Well,
you want an honest answer?
So one explanation is it's two elements. It's that women are more easily swayed in some way, but also men are more persuasive. No, they tend to be more aggressive.
No, that's the case.
Men tend to be more aggressive, and therefore it's going to eventually lead to that. Whereas the other way around probably won't happen. In other words, that you in this situation, it's more natural for a man to try, and then for a woman who's easily swayed, it will end up happening. Whereas in the reverse situation, it's less likely that the women are going to be more aggressive and cause the men to do it.
But men are more easily swayable?
Men are more easily. Why do women have to cover up?
That's not what
it's
saying.
Why is this all this in the name of Kolisha? And it's all because men are, you know.
They're more interested in it. That's true. That's l'chatchila, in other words. That means that given the chance, the men will do it. But that doesn't mean that they're going to, that women are going to go out of their way to create the situation. Here you need somebody to instigate it, right? You have this one man with two women. So he's going to be aggressive and it's going to, what he wants to happen is going to happen. Whereas if it was reverse, it wouldn't happen. That's the argument.
The vote would be saying it's okay with one man and two women.
No, but the vote is...
We are saying it's not okay with one man and two women. It's not okay with one man and two women because they will be swayed.
No, but the vote is at the end of what Rashi said.
Okay.
Which is velo tirazo mechaverta shafhita seknota.
Do you guys have that in your Rashi?
Yeah.
No, because I don't.
What?
I think you're right because I did see that somewhere, but I actually don't. Wait, where are you?
It's at the beginning of the Mishnah.
Oh, in the Mishnah. You're in the Mishnah. Good, good, good.
In the Mishnah?
Good. Yeah, I knew it was somewhere, but I couldn't find it in my Rashi. Right. Rashi is a preview. It's a preview Rashi. Rashi and the Mishnah give you a preview of what the Gemara says. There's no reason for him to say this at this point, except that he wants to help you. So you're exactly right, Noel. The thing is, with the two women, it doesn't help to have... Meaning everybody agrees that one man and one woman is not going to be okay. Right? So then we have to up the ante and say, okay, well, what happens if there are two men? What happens if there are two women? So apparently the argument goes that if there are two men, nothing's going to happen because they're not going to both be swayed, so to speak. They're not both interested. But if there are two women, then he can kind of get them both. All right, we're not going to get too deep into the mechanics, but that's what exactly is what Rashi says. Rashi says they're not nervous one from the other. And they figure that they're both going to get involved. We're actually going to return to this because Rashi is only one answer to this question. We're going to get back to this later when we see another answer. But either way, the Gemara gives that explanation that the reason why it matters, the difference between men and women, is that they are different psychologically. Now, the next line is also very important. Minahani mili. Minahani mili usually means... Where do these words come from? Meaning, what is the source for this whole thing? Now we're not talking anymore about the men and women. Here we're talking about Yichud itself. Yichud itself. Where does Yichud itself come from? And here we have a surprising answer. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shmuel, Remez the Yichud Min HaTorah. The idea of Yichud comes from the Torah. Where? Shneamar, Ki Yisitcha Achicha Ben Imecha. Ben Aim Mesis Ben Av Eno Mesis Elomer Lecha Ben Misyachanim Imo Vasuli Sachanim Kolarei Shabbatora. All right. Now, what's going on over here? So they quote a pasuk. The pasuk says Ki Sischa Achicha Ben Imecha. What is that talking about? What? Which is talking about which iser? Which is talking about which iser? Avodah Zarah. If your brother from your mother, right? Not from another mother. Your brother from your mother should try to entice you to Avodah Zarah. Don't listen to him. How does this get us to Yichud exactly?
This is like left field. This is weird.
It's farther than left field. What's left field in cricket?
What's field?
Left field. All right, say it. So original, guys. So what's going on here? So let's see what the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, Kizizcha achida ben imecha. The Gemara wants to know. The Gemara has a pshat-based question. It says there's an extra clause here. V'chi ben em meses ben av eino meses. What does that mean? Does that mean that only your brother from your mother will try to entice you, but your brother from your father... Dad. meaning a half-brother.
Yeah, yeah.
A half-brother. He's not going to entice you.
Or if he does entice you, you're allowed to listen
right,
to him.
Something like that. Like, well, that's what the Gemara is saying. That's what's difficult about the Pasuk. So they teach you, no, lo melecha ben nisyachirim imo vasa nisyachirim kol rayo shebetar. Okay, so we got half of the drasha. Half of the drasha is pointing out that for some reason, the Torah says that you only have to worry about your brother from your mother trying to entice you to avodah zarah, but apparently not about your brother from your father. And somehow that's supposed to get us to, you're allowed to have yichud with women who are mutar to you, but not allowed to have yichud with women who are not mutar to you. Well, what's going on? Where's the step? So the truth is that the step is very vague, and everybody agrees that it's very vague. Rashi will tell us nothing. Rashi doesn't tell us anything. Tosfos doesn't tell us anything. You have to go to some of the Achronim, they explain. But anyways, the simplest explanation appears to be, does anybody want to try to take a stab at it?
Rashi doesn't say anything, it usually means it's so obvious that I don't
have to. I know, right? So you explain it. Can anybody explain this?
No, when will they, how did you say it? Mesit?
Mesit or Mediach, yeah. They entice you to Avodah Zarah.
Entice you to Avodah Zarah. It won't happen out in the open.
Okay.
It'll probably happen...
I think I see where you're going. Okay.
Happen,
take a look at the, by the way, take a look at the first Makor on the sheet. This is the Pnei Yoshua. Look what he says. L'chora, kol ha-roeh yistomem al zeh ha-ma'amar. Anybody who sees this will be stupefied by this Maimer Chazal. And it seems very strange. Nirmaz midrasha de ben imcha la inyan yichud ben im imo. What does this drasha have to do with yichud? And I've been trying to figure this out for 30 years. Now he has an explanation over here. Yeah, he has an explanation over here. I took it out because it's even stranger than the explanation that I thought that most of the Mepharshim bring down. So the explanation that most of the Mepharshim bring down is something along the lines of like this. The assumption here is that your brother from your mother is going to be able to entice you. Why? Because he's close to you. Because you spent a lot of time with him. Why do you spend a lot of time with him?
Maternal.
Because you live in his house. Because you're always around. You're always around with him. Right? Why is that the case? Because you're allowed to live in that house because it's your mother's house. Mm-hmm. And you're mutter to her. But what about your brother from your father, whose mother is not your mother? You don't hang out in his house. So you never got close to him. You know why? Because you're not allowed to hang out in his house, because you could come to have yichud there. So that's why it's assuming that the only one who's going to be able to entice you is your brother from your mother, and not your brother from your father, because you're not close enough to him for him to matter.
You're learning from what it doesn't say.
Yes, 100%. It is an extremely roundabout drasha. Probably evidenced by the fact that it says remez, by the way. Remez min haTorah.
And therefore?
And it's like, it's a hint. It's not explicit. It's certainly not explicit.
A hint at what? That
and therefore, Kamash Malan, that what the Torah is implicitly assuming is that you're not going to hang out in your brother from your father's house because you're not allowed to.
Why?
Because his mother is usur to you.
But that's assuming that that's like that the sum total of the household is the brother and the mother. And
Don't spend time in their household.
Can I just throw something out there for a second?
Right.
Your brother from your stepmother or your one's father's wife. She's your father's, considered your father's flesh, but she's usur to you.
She's a married woman who's
married. Yeah, I know, but it's like. There's still kind of, I don't know. I know she's, I don't know. It's I always thought that they kind of take some part of like a maternal figure anyway.
You still can't have yichud with her. There's a big question about whether you can even have the yichud with any with you. I mean that is the case with an adopted mother, right? There's sugyas in the Gemara about what adopting mothers had to the way that they used to go into their house. Was that they would send the boys in first, the adopted sons in first, all of them, and then they would go in because they couldn't go in first because then they'd be. It's really strange because really you could, but they would try to make sure that they would never have yichud with any one of their sons. That's the sugya in the Gemara like that.
Isn't the language a bit strange? I mean, it says asul shechedim kol ayot shebatorah, but we also say avat imcha lo tigalei. So your mother is one of the arayot. technically speaking.
That doesn't. But you're mutter to have. You're saying why should it be mutter to be in yichud with your mom?
No. Clearly that's mutter. I'm just saying the language the Gemara uses. That's what you're saying. Because of the arayot, but the arayot include your mother.
Right, yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point.
No, but it said all other arayot.
I don't think it's saying you can't have yichud with any woman that you can't have arayot with, because then you could have a problem with your wife, right? The problem. It's saying that you're not likely to come to the situation with your mother because of the closeness of the relationship, not because of the distance of the relationship.
I don't know if closeness would be the right word. I would say,
It's not saying you're not out of yichud with your mother because she's not erva. You're not out of yichud with your mother because the concept of it is so disgusting that you're not going to come to.
You are allowed to.
Well, you could say the same thing about, other very close relationships.
No. You're allowed. With your sister. You're allowed with your mother. You're allowed with your daughter and your granddaughter.
Yeah, but not because they are mutter to you.
Correct.
That's not what I'm saying.
Correct.
Well, right, but that's
It would be a difficult life if you couldn't have yichud with your mother.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. There's a distinction between who you'd have yichud with and who's an arayot. It's, it's not.
100%.
Or your wife.
Doesn't overlap.
Well, if you're right, you definitely can. Obviously.
Yeah, there's a strong argument that you couldn't.
Why? She's the only woman you're mutter to.
Not all the time.
You mean when she's anida? Yeah. Right. That's a famous Tosfos about why it is that you're allowed to have yichud with your wife when she's anida.
And then it also
because you're eventually going to be able to be with her. So that's why. So what's the nafkamina, if that's really the reason? What if she had some kind of medical condition where she was going to be anida for, I don't know, years or months? Would you be allowed to have yichud with her in that situation?
No, but if that was the case, that she is going to be allowed to, then an engaged couple should also be allowed to be yichud. So, because she is going to be allowed to.
There it's a nida who's not even your wife.
But according to this, it's only
Family life couldn't function.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is what everybody agrees on, that the reason why your wife who's anida is allowed to have yichud with her is because you know that eventually you're going to be able to. And by the way, engaged couple is not a good raya. It's actually a terrible analogy, because the chances are you put an engaged couple in yichud. Yeah.
But the Gemara doesn't talk about a penuyah. The Gemara here only talks about arayot. It doesn't talk about penuyah. Penuyah's not
arayot. No, 100%. That's why you need the Gemara in, where did we quote it from?
Right.
The Gemara in Sanhedrin that talks about how that had to be
later. So for now,
For sure there's no yichud with a, there's no iser of yichud with a penuyah.
An engaged couple.
Well, if she was a nida, maybe not. If she was a nida, probably there would be an iser of yichud.
You said the majority explained it as you were growing up in the same household.
That is the standard explanation.
Is there an alternative?
The Pnei Yoshua has a different one, which is, you know, also kind of hard to figure out. You're right. You just read the Gemara. You're still mad. You're like, what does this mean?
You say, and Rashi says nothing.
Rashi says nothing. This is the standard. This is the most nafot's explanation. All right, let's go weiter. So then the Gemara says, and it asks implicitly addressing our point, Pashte de Krabba Maiksiv. But what's the Pasuk actually talking about? What does the Pasuk actually say? In other words, not what is the Pasuk, we know what the Pasuk's talking about. It's talking about a Mesis. But the question at the beginning of the Drasha was a good question. Why does it have to single out your brother from your mother? That was a good question. We don't really like where the Gemara went with it, but that was a good question. So what is the answer to that question in the world of Avodah Zarah? The Gemara answers, Amar Abaye, lo mi baya kamar, lo mi baya ben av de sanile va'ayetz le etzos ros, ela afilu ben eim de lo sanile ematzaiti le kamashmala. Rashi, pretty much what you said. The Gemara says that when wondering about Mesis, I might say that things that my brother from my father tells me to do, I know I shouldn't listen to him because, frankly, we don't get along. Because my father married his mother, and we don't get along. That's the assumed relationship between the two of us. So obviously, I'm not going to listen to him about Avodah Zarah. If he tells me to do Avodah Zarah, if he tries to entice me to do Avodah Zarah, tries to convince me. But I might think that, and also because, and I don't like him, so of course I shouldn't listen to him. But what if it's my brother from my mother, who loves me, and I love him? Why would he mislead me? Why would he entice me to do avodah zarah? I should be able to listen to him no matter what he tells me to do. Kamash Malan, no, don't listen to him if he tells you to do avodah zarah. That's what the Torah singles out, the brother from the mother, to tell you that you even have to be careful when it comes to avodah zarah, even when it comes from your brother from your mother. Kind of like Adam should have said, Chava, I'm not going to eat from the Eitz HaDaas, even though I love you and you love me and I know that you want what's best for me. I shouldn't eat from the Eitz HaDaas.
They still have a different father.
No. Oh, maybe.
No, it's the same mother.
Yeah.
The brother.
It's Charlie.
Brother from a different father. Yeah, it could be, I guess.
We don't
the same issue that you're making an extended point, which is that if we can assume that the pasuk is including even a brother from the same mother but a different father, then it's making a statement about who you actually end up being close with, which is a good point. Because you live in the same house. You may live in the same house with him.
You may, but you're saying the same father. The fact that he married a woman is cause for them not to get on. Now the fact that the mother married someone is not cause. You would listen to him because you trust him.
No. If anybody told you to do a avodah zarah, you wouldn't listen.
Maces obviously implies that they have some trick to convince. Nobody's going out in the street saying, let's do a avodah zarah. They have some trick of slowly convincing you to do something, which is some signs of what it is. That's what Macy's is.
In other words, this half brother is more manipulative.
Who did that? You wouldn't. You wouldn't listen.
When it came to somebody who you don't trust, you're naturally on your guard. So you're going to make sure that you're not going to do anything that looks like a avodah zarah. But when it's somebody who you trust, you may lower your guard and listen to them because you think they have what's in their your best interest in mind.
Depend on that relationship, and if there's some kind of dependency, then
maybe, yeah. If a random woman had come to Adam and said, "Here, have an apple," would he have eaten it? Probably not. It's because Chava came to him and gave him the apple, and he trusts her. This is actually, by the way, Pirush and Chumash, this is what a lot say, that Adam actually tried to defend himself, saying, this is the wife you gave me, I assume that she would never mislead me.
But that's exactly the point. It's so obvious, and Adam is the lesson. Why does the Gemara need to tell us?
Well, Chava somehow convinced him.
Yes,
yeah,
that's
the
point. It's obvious that you shouldn't. And the Gemara is some drush here to tell us that you shouldn't listen to someone.
Look, Macy's, are you saying that why do you need any drusha at all? It's obvious that you shouldn't do avodah zarah? Is that what
it's
you're saying?
It's obvious that whoever tells you to do avodah zarah,
they're obviously telling you to do something that's not clear cut avodah zarah. Otherwise,
as soon
no
as you realize and you have the choice, you should know that you shouldn't do it. So
yeah, but
by definition, this Gemara would only apply where somebody realizes they're in
If somebody came up to you on the street with a business proposition,
yeah,
you would, and you didn't know them, you would double check them. You would do 100 checks. But if somebody at this table came up to you with a business proposition who you trust in all other areas of life,
triple check.
But be honest, if your colleague at work came to you, you might say, okay, I trust him.
This Gemara, the halacha, only comes into effect when the person knows that somebody's trying to actually trick them into doing a avodah zarah, correct? Otherwise you can't...
No, imagine a situation where you're not sure. You're like, this seems wrong. I'm not sure if I should really be bowing down to this thing. Doesn't seem right. So then it comes down to the relationship between you and the person who's convincing you to do it.
So who would you trust in that circumstance?
Your brother.
But we just said you wouldn't even trust your brother from your mother.
No, you would. No, that's... Oh, it misunderstood. The brother from the father, it's obvious that you wouldn't trust him because you don't even like him.
And
he doesn't like
you. That you wouldn't trust.
That's why the Torah has to single out and say, even your brother from your mother, you shouldn't listen to.
Right. So, is there anyone who would listen to?
No.
Exactly.
He's the most likely person.
No, but that's my point. There's
no
one you'd listen to in those
circumstances. More than him.
No, the Torah wants to emphasize the idea.
What it's saying is, even if your closest confidant friend tells you to do avodah zarah, you don't do it.
Obviously.
That's what I'm saying.
That's my point, obviously. You
don't
no. But the Jewish is
anyway.
The desire, the desire for avodah zarah, like the desire for Arios today. Right, that was the same kind of level. You actually had to hold yourself. It wasn't like you wanted to go think about doing it, but it was like almost a natural thing. You had to hold yourself back from it.
That's yeah. That's.
So it would be very easy to be enticed into it.
Yeah, you look right? for it. Yeah.
As would happen in a yichud situation.
Okay.
Not that you're going to go think about buying out the tree. You wanted to do it.
Right.
There's a desire to pull to do it.
Right.
What is it?
Right. Yeah.
Because then maybe it's easier to understand then that it was.
Yeah, I think, you know, imagine somebody gives you a piece of food to eat. So if they're your brother, so you don't even check the label. But if they're a stranger, then you're going to check the label.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best analogy, I think. Okay, so the Gemara continues. That was kind of like outside of Yichud. Neima masnis nidelo ka'abashol. We're going to say that the Mishnah, we should say, that the Mishnah that we just read, our Mishnah, is not like the opinion of Abashol, which is... Tanya, the Brisa tells us, Kol shloshim yom yotze b'cheik v'nikbar b'isha achas u'shnei anashim. Aval lo b'isha achad u'shnei nashim. The Brisa tells us that for 30 days, a child within the first 30 days of its life, if it dies, right, so it still should be buried. But how is it buried? Not in a big... If Rahman al-San, a child dies within the first 30 days, nefel, so it's not buried in a big tekes, in a big ceremony, but rather in a very small one. So how small? Basically three people. You have one woman with two men. That's what you do. But you don't do one man with two women. All right, so far so good. That accords with our Mishnah. Abba Shaul omer, af b'yishachad u'shtei nashim. So... Abishal, though, says that you can have one man with two women, which is against our Mishnah.
A procession
towards a burial, yes.
So that's the same as Rabbi Shimon.
No, because Rabbi Shimon said it's only okay if one of them is his wife, which is everybody would seem to agree with that. What's Yichud?
Yeah,
you have one man and two women walking into a cemetery alone.
But presumably the mother would...
But how is that?
Walking into a cemetery alone. There's no one else
Rabbi,
there.
Rabbi, that's like a big open space. How is that?
That's what you're all saying. There's no one else there.
No, but presumably...
There's no one else there. They're not like our cemeteries now.
Presumably one of the women would be his mother, so it would be like Rabbi Shimon.
Well, if one of them was his wife, yeah, everybody would... It would be like Rabbi Shimon, and probably everybody would... It was fine. But that's not what the Gemara is saying. That the Braisa tells Abishal says one man, two women is a-okay. So first the Gemara tries to get out of it. Afilu tema Abishal b'shas aninus taver yitzrei. Well, say Abishal is not really against our Mishnah, because our Mishnah may agree with Abishal, because Abishal, what does he believe? Abishal believes that in a place where there's mourning, where there's aninus, the yitzer hara is broken. Taver yitzrei. In Aramaic, two of the letters that are interchangeable are a shin and a tuf. So in Hebrew, this would be shavir yitzrei. So the yetzer hara is broken. In other words, there's no yichud in a procession towards a cemetery. Come on. Nobody's going to try anything. Today is our drasha day. Rabbi Yitzchak said, based on the pasuk from, where is it from? From Eicha. That the word yisonen is a cognate of aninus, right? Afilu b'shas aninus, so shall adam yitzro misgaber alav. That even when a person is in aninus, he still has a yitzro hara. That's not what the pasuk means, right? But that's how Rav Yitzchak understood it. But and in general, his theme was the idea that even when a person is in mourning, or in, and in really in every context, in Apachab Zalarayos, nobody is protected from the Yetzer Hara for sexuality. And therefore, we do have to be concerned for it. So that's really, apparently that's really the Machlokes din Abishal and the Rabbanan. Abishal agrees that in general, you have to have, you can't have two women with one man. But in this situation, it's different. So the Gemara continues and says, V'abashal kiksiv hahu, how does he read Mayisonen Adam Chai Geber al Chatav? How about Misraim al Midosav kiksiv? No, that's talking about somebody who is rebelling, who is, or is mourning, what's Midosav again? What does Rashi say? No, Rashi doesn't say, so Rashi. What was it?
Yeah, he does.
Rashi says?
Yeah,
Midosav, the things that happens to him. This is talking about a person who complains about what Hashem has done to him. Why shouldn't he complain? Because A person should never complain about the bad things that happen to him because he always has life. Now, cue the famous Sichos Musar of Chaim Shmulevitz, where he points out that the Gemara assumes that the punishment that Eov received of pain, I think of Ben David covered this, that Eov received of a life full of suffering was still not as severe as the punishment that Bilam received, which was a quick death, relatively. That according to Judaism, life, any life, is worth living, even if it's a life of suffering. Not an easy idea, but... So a person should never complain, because at least he has life. So what did the Rabbanan say? Rabbanan ki hao ma said, hai is the hava of the vafite. So Rabbanan say, okay, but let's get brass tacks. Anecdotal evidence. We have had situations where these kinds of things have happened and bad stuff followed. What are we talking about here? So take a look at Rashi. There's two opinions over here. Rashi says... Where is it? Here. Virabanan. It's about like six lines up from the wide lines on the left side. Rashi says, Virabanan. Afilu tavir yitzre kidakamarta. Even if the Yitzhar has been beaten, it's not true. Yesh lachush pa'amim she'en shamaninus vo'osin atzman ki'ilu no sentino. You know what you have to worry about? You're right. If they really were mourning, you wouldn't have to worry. But you know what you have to be worried about? Liars. Because sometimes it'll happen that people will go to the cemetery with a coffin and there's nothing in the coffin. Because all they really want is to be alone. It does happen all the time. To have a uvda. Because it happened. Bahai, it's a son with a woman. Vafikte latino, they took a tinok chai bechezkas mes. Lasos aveira im haholichi malakovra. Because she took them out there in order to mess around with them in the cemetery. That happened. If you jump over to the right side, Tosfos tells a different story. This is Rashi's story. Tosfos tells a different story. Perish Rabbeinu Chanan, I'm in the Tosfos, the second Tosfos. There's a woman who was in the... Look at this story. This is a crazy story. Woman is in the cemetery, and she is at the grave of her husband. I don't know if he just died or he died a while ago, but either way, she's sitting at the gravesite crying. There was a man there who was guarding or was watching a man who was hanging on a tree. Like there was a man who was hung by the king, and the king sent this guy to watch and guard this man that nothing should happen to the man after he was hung. Okay. So he did what any man would do in this situation. He went and he seduced the woman. Sitting at her grave, the grave of her husband. Now again, it could be that he was dead for many years. Whatever. V'sham'alo, and she listened to him. Ukshachazar etel atalui, when they finished, and he went back to the man who was hanging in the tree. Wouldn't you know it? He wasn't there anymore. He was gone.
Oops.
This guy is in trouble. How does he explain himself?
Fell asleep.
Vaya mitzda'er me'od mipachad ha'melech. And he was very upset and scared. Amr lo ha'isha al tira kach ba'ali mikivro utlehu bimkomo. Don't worry. I will provide you with the body. We will exhume my husband's remains, and you can hang him up. So I guess he was fresh. I guess it did just happen, because otherwise it wouldn't have worked, right? And
certainly
hang him up.
Match
there.
The couple right for each other.
Vafikta the bala v'tlehu.
What a gal, you know.
So these are proof positive that even in the situation of aninos, even in a place of great mourning, the Yetzer Hara is still rovetet. It still dances in front of us, still pushes us to limits. Ain't upper chops low rives. That's what the Gemara is concerned with.
It's like weird.
Yeah. Okay. Cemetery was a happening place back then, I guess. It's all kinds of stories about cemeteries. All right. Next Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. Lo shanu ala b'ksheim rav, b'prutzeim afilu b'yasara nami lo. This whole thing of having two men with one woman, that's safe, right? That's true as long as the men are upstanding, noble citizens. But if they're prutim, if they're people who are, you know, you can't trust them, like in this story with the woman, with the men who brought her out to the cemetery, then even if you had 10, 100, 200 men, you still wouldn't be able to leave one woman. What do you do in that situation? You have to bring a man who's honorable. That's the only option. So 10 is not good enough. There you go. This story that Rashi told us before. This was a different version of this. Yeah, this was actually Rashi's story. There were 10 men took one woman out. That's what Tosis points out over here, that Rashi conflates the two. Rashi takes this story and tracks it back to the Rabbanan beforehand. You know what I'm saying? Rashi told this story before. So that's how he explains it. Vatiu asara b'mita. Amar Rabbi Yosef, teida de mechabri be'asara v'ganve keshura v'lo mechsefim yadade. Rabbi Yosef says, how do you know? Rabbi says, no, that with even with 10 people, 10 people can join together and they'll steal something that it takes 10 people to carry, right? And they won't be embarrassed of each other. In other words, once you have 10 people who are dishonorable, so they're not afraid of each other. They don't worry about, you know, that he's going to see me do this and then he's going to tell on me. They don't worry about it. So when you have 10 prutzim together, the whole shmirah of yichud falls away. The idea, this by the way, y'all, this is what we were saying before, that the idea of having two men isn't that, you know, one man is honorable, two men is even more honorable, so we know that nothing's going to happen. No, it's that they're afraid of each other. If you have two men, even if one of them would have fallen and succumbed to his yetzer hara, he won't do it in another person's presence because he's afraid that he's going to either be angry with him or that he's going to tell him or something. Which we don't have when you have 10 prutzim. Moshin lo shnei talmidei chachamim. This is what I was talking to you about before. This is the Gemara from Sota. Moshin lo, when you take the Sota, right, you have to, when the man gives a warning to the woman and then she is misyachedes with the person that he warned her about, so what's the next step? He has to take her to Yerushalayim, to the Sanhedrin, to the Beis Din, in order to get her judged, right? Mm-hmm. But how does he get her there? At this point, they're asur to each other. The man is not allowed to be with the wife. He's not even allowed to have yichud with her at this point because there are asur to one to the other. Okay, right? So what do they do? So they have to get somebody to escort them. So who do you get to escort them? So you have to get two talmidei chachamim. Why? Shema yavo alea baderech. You have to get two. So what's the math here? How many people are in the carriage?
There are four. Is the
four
guy.
One woman and three men.
Yeah.
Right? So.
But the two are upstanding.
And two upstanding, but also, yeah, okay, he might also, okay, good point. So, Shem Yavo Aleha B'derech, because he might come upon her in the way. Talmidei Chachamim in Shita Omalo. Oh, it tells you that, you need Talmidei, yeah, the husband.
And then he's not allowed, if he's not allowed to, there's no Hashkeya, once, if this happens, right?
If he does, right.
So what's the issue?
She's a sur to him.
No, she's a sur to him. And if they have relations on the way, then he can't.
I don't think the wife
is not.
That's true when he has relations with someone else. I'm not sure.
No?
I think you're right, but I'm not sure. That's definitely true if he has relations with another woman. If he has affair himself, then that's definitely true. I don't remember if that's true if he does it with her on the way. I'm not sure. It could be. So the Gemara says, "Shami yavo le'a b'derech tamidei chachamim in shita omalo." So you need tamidei chachamim. It's even more than ksherim, right? So that means you even need more than just regular ksherim. You need tamidei chachamim. So not just not prutzim. So the Gemara says, "No. Shani tamidei chachamim v'yadi la'asruye bay." No, they're not there. You don't need tamidei chachamim there to protect her from him, or him from her. No. They're there in order to give him the proper hasra, because they know how to give hasra. They know how to say, you know, don't do it because this and this will happen. In other words, in this case, having two regular people won't work because the man might do something anyways. But with these tamidei chachamim, you don't have to worry about that. Amar Yehuda Marav, lo shna ela ba'ir, ava baderech ad shiyu shlosha. Oh, wait a second. This whole idea that you can have one woman with two men, that's true, you know, in Ra'anana, in New York, in Johannesburg, stop. But what if you're en route, you know, on Kvish Echad, just late at night, walking along the road, and there's no one there? Is it good enough to have one man, two men with one woman? It says, no. Derech Achiyu Shlosha. You need three. Why do you need three? Shema yisterek echad mehem lahashtin v'nimtza echad misyachanim ha'erva. Because nature calls for one of the men, and he goes away, and then basically the man's going to grab her, and they're going to go somewhere else. In other words, you've lost your shmirah, because at some point he's going to have to go to the bathroom, and then you're going to only have one man with one woman. So you have to have three men so that they can go in shifts. Okay, your turn to go to the bathroom. We still have two men with the woman, and you're going to be safe. So that's an important halakha. At night, in secluded places, you need three men.
That can happen equally in the city. What's the distinction?
In the city, there's a lot of people all around.
Yeah, but they're not in the room.
Where are they going to go?
They're not in the room.
Yeah, but anywhere they're going to go, there's going to be more people there. Here, he can just grab her and then go out to the forest.
Like, take her away.
And no one's going to be there. Yeah. No one's going to be there anymore.
Just a question. There's no concept here of eidot, right? Because in the two men you got to cut eid in, but two women you don't. So there's no idea that the woman would be concerned to make a move on two men because she can have eidot against her.
No.
Whereas the woman against two women.
No, because anyways you're not going to have you're talking about having three men.
No.
But with two men. If something happened, then
no,
then
one of them happens, but she sort of initiates. Then there's two eidim that can say that she.
No, that's not the concern here.
No, it's not.
I think so. Okay. Neima, we should say that this actually is supported by the Gemara we just quoted from Sota. Neima sayele, mosem lo shnei tamid chachamim, shem yavo ala b'derech. Trei v'iyu hatlasa. You have two and one. That's three. That explains why we had three. Hasam ki hechad din yavo ala sahade. Oh, this is what you were talking about. Is this what you were talking about, Rabbi? No. So this is so you should have edim im yavo ala v'yaidu. This is specifically in the case of the Sota. We're going to give them to tamid chachamim who can be edim if the man. If the husband sleeps with the wife, in that specific case, yes, we're happy to have Edim of the Tamid Chacham. Okay. Here's a story. Rav and Rav Yehuda, Havu Ka'az Li Bo'orcha. Rav and Rav Yehuda were walking on the way. Havu Ka'az Lahai Issa Kamayu. And a woman came in front of them, started walking in front of them. Amali Rav the Rav Yehuda, Dal Karech Mikamegin Gehinom. Rav said to Rav Yehuda, let's pick up our feet and let's run ahead of her. Because we're walking behind Gehenna. What does he mean? He means this is not Tzanua and something might happen. But Rav, you're the one who said that as long as the men are Ksherim, it's okay. You and me, that makes two. Her, it's okay. What's the problem? Amrlei, this is what Rav responded. What do you thought I was talking about Ksherim like me and you? No, I was talking about real ksherim, like Rav Chanina Bar Papi and his friends. We're not even ksherim. There's Rav and Rav Yehuda, Amarayim. Rav, who was half a Tana, says about himself that he wasn't kasher enough. Now, the Rishonim are interesting on this. The Rambam actually says, based on this Gemara, none of us are ksherim. Based on this Gemara, none of us are ksherim. Well, which means that you are going to always need, you're always going to need patents to get to make sure that there's no yichud. You're going to you can't rely on two men and one woman at all, ever, according to the Rambam, because we're not ksherim. Most of the Acharonim, most of the Rishonim even disagreed. They say no, Rav is just being it's a midas chasidus. He's being humble. The Rama says that we don't assume this way. We assume that we are ksherim. There are prutim in the world, but that we regular people are ksherim, and that we can rely on two men and one woman. Amarav, this is an important line. Malkin al yichud ve'en osrin al yichud. Okay, what happens if yichud happens? So Rav says there's malkus, there's lashes, but it doesn't make anybody asur to anybody. So for instance, if a married woman has yichud with another man, not in the context of sota, nobody was warned of anything, so she gets, let's say she gets malkos, because that's the punishment, but she can be with her husband afterwards, there's no problem.
Because it's just yichud.
What?
To get malkos, she had to be warned.
Well, yes, but it also depends on which kind of malkos. What kind of malkos do you think this is?
No.
What? There's Malkus, which are Daraisa, and Malkus Darabanan. So which one is this? So Rashi says, and this is really, really important, Rashi says, Markus Mardos. That is Malkus Midarabanan. Question is, why is not Daraisa? Why didn't she get regular Malkus?
On which love?
I don't know. We said that Rambez Minatar Minayin, right? Okay, we're going to return to that. But that's
what's the difference between Mafas Derabanan and Deorasa? Like, either the severity, or is it the same?
I don't remember. I don't remember. But it's important to know whether it's Deorasa or Derabanan for other reasons.
Sure.
So, but she's still permitted with her husband because it's not real Sota. But somebody disagrees. Amravashi lo amran ela beyichud pnuya, ava beyichud de'eshet ish, lo. Rav Ashi says, we only give lashes to a single woman, to a woman who is single, who had yichud. But a married woman, we don't. Why not? Why not? Why not give lashes to a married woman?
What does he say no to?
He's saying, if a woman has yichud with somebody who's not, she's not married to, she's not supposed to have yichud with them, so everybody agrees that she doesn't become asura to her husband if she's married.
Okay.
But does she get lashes? So Rav Ashi says, if she's single, she gets lashes, but if she's married, she doesn't.
I think it would be the opposite.
Yeah, why?
I know, I'm confused.
Because it's more severe. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
more severe, but the temptation is less.
Okay. Why does that impact on the malchus?
The presumption.
The malchus is on the woman, not on the
yichud. Yichud itself. No. Yichud. So, Gemara says, Shelo tehe motzi la'ez al banea. Because what happens if you give her lashes? Maybe you take her out to the town square. I don't know if they did this, but you take her out and you give her lashes in front of
her children.
Everyone. And then the kids go to school the next day. And what are the other kids saying? Your mom, you know.
Yeah, sure.
We don't want that to happen.
But if you don't mind, the single lady that she can walk around.
She's not married, she doesn't have kids yet, she's single.
That she can walk around in the marketplace and they can say that about her.
Yeah.
But she was yichud.
Huh?
She was yichud.
But so was the married woman.
So what's the implication on others?
What's that?
So it's just protecting her children from ridicule and lashon hara in the field.
But again, if we are concerned about that, then we're not concerned about the single girl's parents and sister. And
no, and like her future for matrimony as well.
You know how hard it's going to be for her to find a shidduch.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that happens after. That stuff happens after, though. In other words,
if the benchmark is concerned.
So apparently, we're not concerned about her parents. We're not concerned about her siblings.
Or her.
Her, she did this to herself. You know, so to speak. Then the man will get malchus as well.
So what about a sota? I won't be worried about her children.
There's no getting around that.
Why not?
And that's,
what do you mean? That's what the Torah requires. There's no getting around
D-R-I-S-A.
That. These are malchus derabanan anyways, so they can decide to do whatever they want. But the sota, there's no getting around there. Once he accuses her, and once she is witnessed being in yichud, there's nothing you can do.
Mm-hmm.
What?
The second time. She's gone into yichud a second time.
Right. So that's what happens to the woman who has yichud. Marzucha malkiu machiz. You know, Marzucha didn't care. He would give lashes and he would announce in the town square this woman had yichud. Amar levnachem mi parhatya leravashi. Mar nami lokel v'dechris. Why don't you do the same thing? Amar leika deshama baha velo shama baha. Because in other words, this was seen as a good solution. Rael, ultimately what happened over here is that they weren't concerned only that everybody would see she was getting lashes because she was yichud, but that people would suspect that there was more than that. So what Rav Nachman suggested is, well, we'll announce that we only know that she had yichud. She didn't do anything else. She had yichud. So they said, Rav Ashi, isn't that good enough? He said, no, because maybe some people will hear about the lashes and they won't hear about the declaration. And, you know, you can't be sure what people hear and what people don't hear, and rumors will be flying.
But hang on a second. If there was suspicion that there was more, then she'd be assaulted, not...
No, there wasn't necessarily... No, people will suspect. People will see she's getting lashes. Why? Because she's Prutza, and people will assume that she did something. Not because we assume.
They can't assume it.
Well, if she's sota and an adulterer or something, like, sota is a specific thing.
Yeah, but sota is yichud twice. Okay, and once you've done that twice, you're a sota. In order to get quite specific, just to get lashes for yichud, it means you've got to give yichud either it's only the first time, or the husband knows that nothing happened.
This is stam yichud. A woman had yichud.
He hasn't
warned her. A woman had yichud, that's all. That's all that happened. So they can announce that she had yichud and that's why she's being lashed. But Rav Ashi said, no, I'm concerned that people won't hear the announcement or they'll mishear the announcement and then it will be
The implication is that her husband doesn't suspect anything happened, because if he suspects something happened, then...
Even if he did suspect, it doesn't matter, because he didn't warn her beforehand.
And at this point, at no point have we actually defined yichud. Like, what are the boundaries?
Okay.
I mean, we said in the cemetery it can be yichud,
in general, we know it means to be alone in a room with someone for a certain amount of time, which we haven't defined. You're right. And what exactly we're concerned for. You're right. We haven't. The Gemara does not really give a shear. And part of it will come down to, by the way, what it is that we're concerned they're going to do.
Right.
And what is the problem with Yichud, which I want to revisit as soon as we finish, which we're almost finished.
I'm battling a bit tonight, but it seems like to be going into...
It's okay.
We know we're going to lash it for something. We haven't defined what the issue of the Yichud is. But we know the punishment is going to be lashes.
Okay.
We should at some point know what the avera is.
Yichud.
Which
Yichud, to be secluded with a man.
It is from a remez.
Saying what is the?
So saying we know the punishment is 40 lashes. So she's working in a shop. A guy walks in. That's it. Lashes.
Oh no, that we have more details about. Okay, no, because they're. That we're going to get to the heterim, the ways that yichud is okay.
Really,
we already saw one.
How you can fix that?
We already saw one where the husband is with the wife, and we'll see more now. I want to just finish because we're not going to have a lot of time, and we might have to do this next time. Actually, which is okay because I kind of planned that this might be a two day sugya. Let's just finish this part. Okay, Amarav Malkin Alo Tova Hashmo. Okay, this is, I don't want to get too deep into this, but Rav says that someone can get Malkus even for a rumor. Shneamar El Banai Ki Lo Tova Hashmua. Don't want to get into that. Amar Zutra Mosiv La Pisra Al Katfei Umakri Le. This is, Amar Zutra had more punishment for this. He would put, a beam on her shoulders, like you see in the movies, put a beam on their shoulders. And she would have to call out, or they would call out in front of her that she had done something wrong. And she would read this pasuk rather, El Banai. Amar Rabba Bala. Okay, here's the big line. Amar Rabba Bala Ba'ir Ein Choshishin Mishum Yichud. As long as her husband is in town, obviously we're going to have to define what town is. As long as her husband is in town, there's no yichud at all. She can be misyachid with anybody she wants as long as her husband is in town. Another heter. If the door is open to a Rishus HaRabim, I'll spoil it now. Rishus HaRabim is defined as a place where there are three people. Three people is enough. So if there's a door open to an area where there's three people, then it's okay. Then there's no problem with Yichud. Rav Bibi Ikal Abay Rav Yosef. Love this story. Rav Bibi went to Rav Yosef's house. Basa Dekar Chrifta. After they ate and finished eating, Shkuli Dargo Mitute Bibi. They were eating in the attic. So Rav Yosef ordered that they remove the ladder going up to the attic. Why? Because his wife was down there. I don't remember. What was Rashi say? Shachlu Balea. Baliyah v'yardu Rav Yosef ishto v'hu nishar ba'aliyah shkulu darga mitute bibi shelo yered v'yityached. Who's he was going to have yichud with again? I guess with his daughter, maybe. They were worried that the two of them were going to go downstairs. That was the problem. That's what they were concerned with. That the two of them were going to go downstairs. Right. So, what happened was that Rav Yosef and his wife went downstairs, and then he said, okay, don't let Rav Bibi come downstairs. This is weird. Can you imagine a guest in your home? And, you know, after dinner, he goes up to his room, and then you lock him in? Because I don't want you to mess with my wife. Can you imagine? And anyways, what's the problem here? More than that. It's his wife. Why is this a problem? That's what they said to him. Shkuli dagim tute bibi v'hamar rabba bala ba'irin choshin mishum yichud. There's no problem. Shani rabibi deshush binte have v'gayis sabe. Rabibi was a good friend. He was a very, very, very good friend of theirs. He was might have even been the best man at the wedding. And therefore, the heter of bala ba'ir does not apply.
Yeah,
when there's a special relationship between the wife and the person in the house. They're very, very close. So then for some reason, the heter of Baal HaBir does not apply. This is very important, the halacha.
But he's not in the, he's in the house.
He's in the house, yes.
Even just by numbers, he's making up the...
Yeah. That is a strange part of it.
It doesn't make it up by numbers, does it? But it's making a new concept. So he's trying to avoid
Yichud.
Didn't he take it down to avoid Yichud? So that
he's making a new category.
Okay, Rashi, I don't know if Rashi said this, but apparently Rav Yosef had was leaving the house. This is when he was leaving the house. He said, "Remove the ladder." When he was leaving the house, so that he was Bala Be'ir. He wasn't Bala in the same house. So he actually wasn't there. Did Rashi say that? No, Art School has it, but Rashi. I didn't notice Rashi saying that. Doesn't say it. I guess you're supposed to just know. Don't know. Okay, so I think that's where we're going to stop. Okay, I think the next part of the Gemara is more agadic in nature, so we're going to save it for next time, and we'll start at least the important parts about the sugya over here. So if you turn to the page with the Makarot, this page, David, turn to the page with the Makarot. So after the Pnei Yeshua that we saw, so Rashi says, here's the question that we want to ask. Is Yichud Asar Midaraisa or Derabanan? What do you think? Based on what we've learned so far.
Derabanan.
I heard Derabanan, I heard Derabanan because of Sota, and I heard Derabanan. You think Derabanan. Why would we say Derabanan? Why would we say Derabanan? What do you mean because of Sota?
Because... there's a isser of being of Yichud Doraisa if she's alone twice.
Well, the twice was misleading. It's not the twice that's the problem. It's the fact that he warned her. You're saying, I think what you're saying is that there is a concept of Yichud.
You warned her not to do what?
Yeah, I think what you're saying is that there's definitely a concept of Yichud Doraita. Yeah. We know from Sota. That for sure we know. You're right. That's true. You're right, but what Paul is pointing out, which is important.
Man identified by a husband, it's not just...
Okay, well, let's go step by step. Para para, as my colleagues like to say. What Paul's pointing out, which is really critical, is that the concept of Yichud definitely exists Doraita, because it exists by Sota, just the construct. The idea.
The Torah doesn't bring that as a source.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't come from Sota.
It doesn't.
It comes from the
it does. That's true.
I think that sounds like a derabanan because it seems like a siag. You can have a siag d'oraita, but this seems like a siag d'orabanan because it's...
Can you have a siag d'oraita?
Yeah.
What's an example of a fence, of a geder
midoraita? Siag d'oraita is...
You're learning about it. You're not yet learning about it. You're going to learn about it soon.
No.
So Rav Yosef Engel has a whole sefer of Siagim Daraisa, like where he lists what he thinks are. A Siag Daraisa means that what the Torah really doesn't want you to do is X. But because it doesn't want you even to come close to X, it says you can't do Y, which sounds like Dirabanan, but the Torah tells you not to do it. So there are a bunch of examples. One example is a Nazir is not allowed to eat grapes. Right? Really care if a Nazir ate grapes? Is that really a problem? No, we don't want the Nazir to drink wine. But the Torah says he can't even eat grapes. And that's not Darabanan. The Torah says he cannot eat grapes. Basar B'chalav might be another one. He lists Basar B'chalav. The fact that you can't cook meat and milk is only there to make sure that you don't eat meat and milk that was cooked together. Another example that almost everybody agrees about is the idea that you can't have any chametz in your house on Pesach. What does the Torah really care about?
Eating
chametz. But it says don't have any chametz in your house. So here's the question. Let's say we assume that Yichud is Doraisa. Or, well, let's say we assume that Yichud is there. What's the purpose of Yichud? Let's go step by step. What's the purpose of Yichud?
To stop inappropriate.
To prevent people from being together, from sleeping together, let's say. By the way, you may not be just sleeping together. It could be. Could it be possible that Yichud is there to prevent people from kissing and hugging?
Of course.
Or mixed dancing.
Absolutely. What do you do if you were to go in your house looking after your elderly father or elderly mother?
That's a great question. When we get more halacha lemaisa, we'll answer that question. But first, let's go step by step. Is yichud daraisa? If we assume that we can still assume that it's daraisa and assume that it's a geder, we can. Sure. We can assume that, and then that yichud is there in order to prevent something more severe.
Also,
the question is based on the makarot. What can we say?
Also based.
What?
Where's the right on that part?
What do you mean? It itself is daraisa. What?
Where's the right on that
part? Good. Well, why did anybody say there was daraisa?
Because it leads again to sota, but at the
no,
same
it can't
time,
be because of sota.
Can I just
why, yo? Why did you say it was daraita?
No, I said it was derabanan with a rim is daraita.
Oh, now you confused me.
It has to be daraita.
No, why?
Because it had to exist before the Gemara found that was a way to create. It's not possible that from that reading of the Torah you worked out there's a thing called yichud. Yichud has to exist first,
Okay, so it could still be derabanan, though.
No, but wait a minute, hold on.
Yeah. No, it could also be derabanan.
You said it had to be daraita. You said it has to be daraita. Did I miss here?
Rabbi, can I just throw in? It's also one of
you just said it. I can play back the tape if you want.
Rabbi?
The words.
Rabbi?
Because?
We're looking for a remnant, it had to exist as a concept before.
But a pasuk can be an asmachta, it doesn't have to be the real source of it.
It's one of those things that leads to marriage. That's part of marriage. When you have a wedding, they go to the yichud room. It's a big thing. I know it sounds a little crazy.
That's nothing to do with it.
Nothing.
The yichud room is there to create the marriage, but not because it's usher. It's not like that.
No, but otherwise it would be
usher. Things from what's said in the Torah.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean it's darais or darabanan. Okay, so let's take a look. So take a look at if the first source on the page is Rashi, not in our Gemara, but Rashi in Shabbos. And in the context of Yichud, Rashi says, "The asur lan Yichud bina Torah b'kiddushin mi'achicha ben imecha." Right? Quoting our Gemara, he says, "Asur lan Yichud min ha Torah." Right? I don't see any way to get around Rashi saying that it's Doraita. Do you?
No. Why does he say so?
From the pasuk that's quoted in Kiddushin, Ben Imecha, the one we had trouble with, Rashi says the Torah said, "Remez min haTorah minayin," pasuk in the Torah,
which was so obvious you didn't comment on it when it came.
Where you on?
How does he work around the remez?
What do you mean?
Good question.
Tosa says, "V'hinei svaru la'asar l'fisha yitzar tokvo mitgaber ala biyota v'rashi pirish afilu biyuchu nami asin d'aray." So he's commenting on the same Gemara. "V'ein nira d'mashma d'rotza la'asar yichud benida tema d'yichud d'asar min haTorah lo yafina me'esh ha'ish." The context over there was talking about the isser of yichud on a nida. Which is not the same as Eishes Ish. Shari benida k'dechtiv suga b'shoshanim v'hu b'bigda v'hi b'bigda d'lohavi afilu b'Eishes Ish ela midirabanan asur. He says asur benida midehekesha tfei havalei l'misar l'misar yichud mehekesha l'misri hu b'bigda v'hi b'bigda b'lo yichud k'gon shepesach v'asuach l'shetrav misuga b'shoshanim. So he wants to suggest that the Gemara has to not be talking about that because yichud with a nida is asr only midirabanan, which that was what the Gemara was talking about. But what comes out here is that Tosos is implicitly agreeing with Rashi that yichud is with other women is asr midaraisa. So he's agreeing with Rashi on that. He's just saying yichud with a nida is different, but yichud with other women is daraisa. That's what the school of Ashkenaz seems to think. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says, "Lo nechshadu Yisrael amishkav zachar ve'al behema lefichach ein iser lisyachid iman." Says he starts out by pointing out cases where there's no problem of yichud with mishkav zachar and with behema. V'im nischarachik afilu miyichud zachar or behema harizu meshubach. But you should probably try to avoid that as well. Interesting. Ugdolei achachamim merchikin abehema kadesh lisyachid iman ve'iser yichud harayos mipi ha-kabbalah. He says yichud itself is mipi kabbalah. What does Rambam mean when he says mipi kabbalah? We don't really know. But what he usually means is that it's midarabanan, but a high level darabanan, kind of like from Navi. That's what kabbalah really is. This is from Navi. In other words, you can source it at least to Navi. Now, why does he think that? Why does he think that it comes at least from the time of Navi?
I'm not on Tamar.
Because the gather of Yichud with a Pnuya, right, which is everybody agrees is definitely not Daraisa, was invented by David after what happened between Tamar and Amnon. So it at least goes back to there. But either way, the Rambam does seem to assume that it's not Midaraisa. Why does he assume that? After all, our Gemara cites a Pasuk. He seems to assume that it's only Nesmachta. Or like the Gemara says, a Remez.
If it's Daraisa, do we have the ability to then make leniencies? The fact that, but if the husband's in the town, that's okay. And if it's Daraisa, that it's...
it's a great question.
Assume Daraisa, then are we...
It's a great question. We have to assume...
But let's mow down the fences.
No, but you have to assume...
Maybe the leniencies are leniencies that were built in. Go all the way back. Exactly.
Yeah, they were built in. It could be that they were aware that they were built in Torah Shabbat Peh, just like in every halakha. How do you know that Malachas Mach Shabbos is only us on Shabbos? How do you know that Mekalkal on Shabbos is Mutter? How do you know that you're allowed to, rip your shirt as long as it's not for a constructive purpose? Because they said it's built in. Now, there is a third position, which is an intermediate position. This is from the Rashba. It's very interesting. Nearly, Shehumi Derabbanon. Delo asa Torah ala dafke yichud gamur ish ve'isha. I'll keep reading. V'raya mitgabaya v'gamara maitayma nashim. U'metarit choyel v'nashim. The Rashba says you have to read the beginning of our Gemara as a seamless whole. The first thing the Gemara wanted to know was, what's the difference between men and women? Namely, that two men can be with one woman, but two women cannot be with one man. And the very next thing the Gemara says is, mina animili. We read that as two different, distinct points. The first thing is talking about one particular point in the Mishnah, and the second is this wide-ranging question about Yichud in general. The Rashba says, no, the concept of Yichud itself is Daraita, but it only applies Midaraita when it's one man and one woman. What the Mishnah says, that lo yitachad ish im shtei nashim, and then it asks, minan imili, that's Midarabanan. In other words, the moment you have two men and one woman, or two women and one man, you're out of the parsha of Yichud Daraisa, according to the Rashba. You're now in Derabanan territory, which is very interesting. He says that's what he says. He says, look, and Rael, to your point, if it was Minatora, then my taima is a strange question. If the idea of having two men and one woman, or two women and one man, my taima, why? We wouldn't ask this question about the Torah logic. How do we pass it? So the Shulchan Aruch says, "Nimsa kohem isyachidim isha sha'asol isyachidima bein Yisraelis bein ovedes kachavim makin eshneim makas mardus ha'ish va'isha u'machrizin aleihem." So the Shulchan Aruch says that if you have any of these yichud problems, so what happens? Makas mardus, which seems to imply, as the Gross says, "Kamo shekasav haRambam sham ve'yisur yichud ha'arayas mipi haKabbala retzon alomar ha'smachtehi da'ap la'asorvim shedvar Torah yimikol makom einu ela ase." Now he dropped another bomb. There's a fourth position, which says that Yichud is asur midaraisa, but as an asay. It's an isur asay. How is Yichud is isur asay? Is very confusing. Like, do not have Yichud. Do not have Yichud. A little bit confusing. How
always
exactly
be in the
works.
Room with at least three people.
But what he might mean is that it's definitely, well, okay, I don't want to say he means this, but let's take a step back. How does the Gra says that this, the Shulchan Aruch means that we pass like the Rambam because he has Makas Mardus, right? I don't want to cast aspersions, and I am nothing in the eyes of the Gra, but there's a problem here, because does anybody hold that you get any Makos worse than Makas Mardus in Yichud? Who did we quote before who said that when you have Yichud, there's only Makas Mardus? Who do we quote? It was Rashi. Rashi in the Gemara, when it said, if you have Yichud, there's Malkos, but there's no Isser, right? There's no, she doesn't become a Sur to her husband. Even Rashi said that. And you can wonder, why does Rashi say that? Rashi assumes that it's Daraisa. So the simplest answer to that is, even if it's Daraisa, what kind of Isser is it? There is a kind of Isser that you don't get Malkos for. It's called Lav Shein Bomasa. Yichud is Lav Shein Bomasa. You didn't do anything. You did not do anything. You didn't leave. You didn't leave. You should have left. You didn't leave. So you can't get makas doraisa, regular makas. That's why it's makas maridus. Rashi said it. Rashi said you only get makas maridus.
See, you can walk into a room.
No, I'm just saying you could be in a house and someone could be there.
Yes, but by the definition of the din. Yes, but Yoel, any avera where it's possible to violate it without a maaseh becomes a lav shein b'maaseh.
Yeah, it's actually the ultimate lav shein b'maaseh. Because if there was a maaseh, it would be a lot worse than yichud. No, it's true. It is. It's a lav shein b'maaseh.
I hear. But
you didn't do it.
So I'm not exactly sure I even understand the grah, because I mean, why does he say this? I don't even know. I mean, everybody agrees it's makas maridus, so you can't prove based on the fact that he says makas maridus that he holds like the Rambam.
Can I just ask a question? Like,
yeah.
Definition of yichud. Like it's as if two people deliberately went into a room by themselves. Is it also, suppose you're in a situation where you just find yourself with another room in the house, right. Like you're with a group of people, all of right. A sudden
everybody left,
and then it's you and like say
100%.
I don't mean people, your skin to crawl, your mother-in-law.
You got to get
that
out of there.
Be really, really.
Got to get out of there.
Isn't that what the Gemara
is saying?
What? Isn't that what he's saying?
What do you mean?
At the end.
Where? V'afa asorvim shedivrei Torah, dvar Torah hi mikol makom eino ala asa. That.
What does it mean by that?
So there isn't. Apparently, there's an iser asay. You're saying
what?
It's an Isra, if it's an Isra say,
yeah.
However that works, there's also not going to be any makos, because you don't get lashes for violating an Isra say.
Sometimes you do.
What? Oh, that's to make you do it.
Yeah.
But that's not what this is. That's b'shas masa. That has to be. If you refuse to leave, then they can hit you. I'm not sure. I'm really not sure.
Not to do it.
Ki yisidcha ben imecha.
Be the positive commandment to not be alone. Okay.
I don't know.
I don't know. Commandment to make sure you're always with other people.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I don't know.
Not being alone.
I don't know.
That's the nicest thing we do, no?
Try to get out.
Yeah.
You don't get malchus. We leave. Yeah, we leave. We leave or we find ways around yichud.
If you go into yichud with someone,
I'll go with
right.
The
that's a love.
The crowd.
Right.
But if you're left in the situation,
yes,
you have to remove yourself.
Of course.
As an asset.
Yeah. That's what you want to say.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe.
I hear. Yeah.
The other one on the walk out to the security.
And then you walk out.
It's like, that it's not.
Short,
that was, by the way, that's... No, I mean, if it's a short elevator ride. If it's a short elevator ride, then no. But that's part of the issue, by the way, in terms of the sheer of yichud, right? Is it, let's say,
like,
we tell newlyweds 8 minutes. That's the sheer, at least that's what I learned.
Yeah.
8 minutes, because that's how long it takes to do everything.
Okay.
But obviously, to do less than that, if you just want to hug and kiss, it takes much shorter. So, like, you shouldn't even be allowed to be with a girl for a minute. But we don't assume that. We assume that
8 minutes
the
is
about,
the
I think something like that. Yeah, that's what I remember. Something.
But it only becomes after 8 minutes.
Yes.
Is that the same thing? The shear from one to the
yeah. The idea of yichud is that they could have consummated the marriage in that amount of time. It's probably not what they're doing, but they could have. I was an aid yichud, I think, three times in my life.
Once
went off without a catch. Once there was a girl who tried to get into the room because she wanted to give a present to the girl, to the kala. She was a best friend, and I was like, I almost didn't catch her. I was like, she was like hand on the door, I think, and I'm like, what are you doing?
I get it as well.
She's like, I want to give her up. I'm like, no, Robbie, you cannot go in there. I'm now doing my job. And the other time, it was my job to make sure that there wasn't yichud, because it was my best friend and he was Sephardi. And Sephardim don't do yichud. at the wedding.
Really?
They don't do yichud at the wedding, but he's like Ashkes Fart, so he didn't want like Maris Ayin, like can
have yichud.
People are going to say that they didn't have yichud, so it was my job to make sure that there was a little kid in the room.
Yeah, a little kid in the room. It's also like there's also a problem with cheese.
Yeah, that's what the chiddush. No, part of the reason is because they don't want the husband and wife to be married at that point, because then she's going to have to cover her hair and everything. Now, why are Ashkenazim not concerned for that? Nobody knows. No. probably because something along the line. Nah, I don't know anything. Rav Shechter likes to say that weddings make no sense when you get down to them. Like all the different menhagim that happen at weddings, he says none of they all contradict each other. All the different menhagim that we have at weddings.
I agree with him so much.
Okay, we could do just a tiny bit more. I wanted to at least start the sugya of Bala Be'ir. It's a very, very important element over here. When we talked about Bala Be'ir, that was on Pei Amad Aleph, Rabbah says, Bala Be'ir, Ein Choshim Mishum Yichud. We don't worry about Yichud. Now, what does that mean? So Rashi actually says, Lahalkot. The mistafi mibal hashtati. We don't worry about Yichud to give Malkos because she's afraid that her husband is going to come. In other words, the heter Bala Be'ir or the solution of Bala Be'ir is that she is concerned, she's afraid that her husband could walk in at any time, and because of that, we don't give Malkot. Now, if you're reading Rashi carefully, like you should read Rashi carefully when you learn Gemara, what immediately jumps out to you?
I'm not saying it's okay, he's just saying it's
mutter. Yafemot! He didn't say that it's mutter. He said we don't give malkos, which means that it's asur, right? In Shabbos, the classic phrase for this is patur aval asur, which always means asur. Well, usually the Gemara will just say patur, which is code for patur aval asur. So Rashi says, you're not going to get malkos, but you're not allowed to have yichud with Bala Be'ir. This is an amazing thing. So, Rav Shulman, Rav Eli Shulman, is one of the Rosh Yeshiva in YU. So he has a long arichos on all the sugis of Yichud over here. And I took one piece of there. He tries to figure out, by the way, Tosas disagrees. Rashi, I'm not making this up. Tosas points this out in Rashi. Rashi says, Tosas says, Bala Be'er Ein Chodshin La'am Bishum Yichud. Tosas says, Perish Bekuntros Ein Chodshin La'halkos Mashman Bitoch Perusho Ha'isura Me'eika. You don't get Malkos, but there is an Isser. V'kasha, Dimkein Mai Parech Besamuch Al Rav Yosef. But he says, aside from the logical problem that it seems strange that it should be usher, right after this in the Gemara, Rav Yosef told them to remove the ladder so that Rav Bibi wouldn't have yichud with his wife. And it says, you know, why did you have to do that after all Bala Be'ir? What do you mean, why did I have to do that? It's usher even if Bala Be'ir. The only thing that the ladder will get rid of is the Malkus. But you'll still have a problem of the isser. And that's what Tosas asks. Okay, so Tosas answers for Rashi. He says, Tosas says himself, "Ein choshen klal mishum yuchud vafilu isur aleka." So Tosas and Rashi argue, and this is obviously an important machlokas about whether or not Bala Be'ir actually helps at all. So Rav Shulman explains Rashi. He says, "Me'ata nira shadas Rashi de Bala Be'ir omnam ein ze yichud kevin the mistafi ve'ein sham chashash isur." Says there's no yichud. There's no yichud at all, even according to Rashi. V'lachen gam ein bo malkos, aval isura ika mishum detzarek liyisrachik me'eshes ish afilu b'malkom deleka chashash isur. Rav Shulman says an interesting thing. He says, when Rashi says that you don't get malkos, and he implies that it's asur, it's not asur because of yichud. It's asur because it's pasnisht. And by the way, this is really, really important. When we're talking, let's take a step back, by the way. When we're talking about whether yichud is asur midaraita or asur midarabanan, whether it's a gzera or whether it's a geder or whether it's something else, is yichud only a problem because it's going to lead to sexual activity? Is that the only reason it's a problem? You say no. What do you mean?
It could lead to just people thinking badly about you, or just
okay.
or affect, you know, the relationship that you have with your friends. And
let me ask a different question.
Even if nothing happens or nothing's likely to happen, it's just not.
It's not.
It could lead to suspicion.
But there.
Oh. Let's say there's machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban, famous machlokas about whether or not kissing a woman is asur midaraisa or midarabana. Torah only says lo tikuv legalos erva, right? So is it? So that's talking about sex. It's not talking about kissing and hugging. l'chora. So what about that? So one of them says that it's aser midaraisa because it's included. And the other says it's aser midarabanan because it could lead. Now what does it mean that it's included? So, but included could mean, A, it's a geder, meaning it's included midaraisa because it leads directly to sexuality. Or it could mean, no, kissing a woman is aser midaraisa. And we don't really need to explain that, do we?
No.
No, right?
No.
Perhaps, yichud is the same way. Perhaps yichud is aser because it's inappropriate. It's inappropriate behavior with a woman. We don't have to say that it's because it could lead to sexuality. We could say that it's inappropriate to be alone in a room with a woman that you're not supposed to be with, which is important. So Rashi over here says that it's aser, but not because of yichud, but because it's pasnished. It's not yichud. That's why Rabba, by the way, phrased it as en choshin mishum yichud. Rashi will have to deal with that anyways. Rabba said it wasn't yichud. So Rashi's saying it's not yichud. It's just, it's not right. You shouldn't do that. So what about Rav Bibi and Rav Yosef? So he says, achashash haya shema yered v'yisyached. Okay. So that was the first half of Rashi. The first half of Rashi is this big, we paskin that it's not usher. Bottom line, paskin like Tosos that it's not usher. It's completely mutter once you have the heter of Bala Ba'ir, which we have yet to really, really define.
Sorry, what's mutter?
To have, as long as the husband is in town, whatever that means, it's mutter for the woman to have yichud with almost anybody.
Is it the other way around?
As long as the husband is
no,
in town.
The wife is...
Oh, Yafem Ma'od? No. Ishto Mishamarto is the parallel, but that's where she is there. She's right there. Right, pretty much.
But if the rationale was that the wife would fear her husband coming home, why is the other not called?
Very good question. So before we get there, before we answer that question, which I don't know if I have an answer to, first let's revisit that. The second half of Rashi told us that the solution of Bala Ba'ir is that she's afraid that he's going to walk in any time. Right? Rambam disagrees. Rambam writes, I think this is the last Makar we'll do because we'll save the rest for next time. And we'll do some more Gemara later because it's more Agadita, which is actually appropriate for the time period. The Rambam says, Eishes ishi Bala Ba'ir eina choshashes liyichud. As long as Bala Ba'ir, we don't worry about it at all. Mipnei she'emas bala aleha, because the fear of her husband is upon him. But if it's somebody that she has a special relationship with, like it's her best friend from when she was younger, then we do worry about yichud. In other words, that's why I said, in most cases, it's not a problem, but in specific cases, like where it's somebody who has a special relationship with her, bala beer doesn't help. But the point over here is that the Rambam says, mipnei she'emas bala aleha. Now, I know that you could say that he's saying the same thing as Rashi. You could. But nobody does. Everybody says that Rambam has a different shita over here. Rambam is saying that there's more of a psychological heter over here. It's not that she's worried that her husband's going to come home at any moment. It's that as long as he's in town, there's this weight on her that she feels...
That he could potentially walk in.
I know that's what Rashi says. No, she feels his presence almost. She feels his presence at all times, as long as he's in town.
It's
he's
no
around.
Effect on what he feels.
What?
No effect on what the man feels.
No, the other man.
Why would
the
that?
Man.
Oh, that's interesting.
He is the husband.
That's interesting. No, it says Aleha.
Yes, it says Aleha.
That would be interesting, though. It would be interesting.
It also implies a very specific reason as to why we're worried about yichud. In other words, we're not worried about what people might say or how it looks or inappropriate. We're saying we're worried something might happen and in these circumstances it might happen. And it's fine. They can, if the husband's in town, they can sit, they can be behind closed doors all day. 24/7 because the husband's in town.
Yeah.
We're not worried as to how it looks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your wife is home alone, and you'll go out to the store, and she's not home alone because the cleaner is there. It's fine. Okay. But vice versa, no. When I was in the Heights, I remember we had a babysitter who used to come over to watch Ezra, and Sonia at the time was in school. So why was I even at home?
Showing the babysitting.
I was at home. I know. I wasn't in YU anymore. I was working. I was working, and there was, for some reason, I was working from home that day. Maybe it was like Erev. I don't know. For some reason, I was working home. So I was working from home. That's where the internet was. So I was working from home, and then the babysitter would come over. So we did a couple of things. Sometimes I would work in the neighbors, and then sometimes I would ask, not my chavrusa, but another guy in the basement. I told him, at any given point in the day, I want you to show up at the house. And I'm leaving the door unlocked. And I want you to show up at the house. And I wouldn't tell him when, and he wouldn't tell me when. So at any given point in the day, he could walk in the door. That's Pesach Pasuach. Because the door is open, and I'm actually worried that he's going to... Now, the first day, he didn't come. He didn't come, and I remembered him after. I said, Stavsky, you didn't come. He's like, I know. I was talking to my chavrusa the whole time. I was like, I don't think I have to actually go, as long as I could go. He's like, but it only works for today. It won't work for tomorrow. Tomorrow. You're right.
You don't trust him anymore.
Well, you know what? It maybe could, but he had to tell me that he was going to come the next. He's like, tomorrow I'll come.
Rabbi, one of my two best friends tell me in the morning when I leave to go to work or to go to yeshiva, you have to leave the house as well. You can't stay in the house.
Because his wife is there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I said to him, what am I going to do at 7 o'clock in the morning in Midrachov when the shops don't open till 10 o'clock? What do you want me to do? 7, 8, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, for 3 hours. What do you want me to do?
So what'd you do?
He said, I don't care what you do. I don't care what you do. As long as you're not in the house with my wife.
What do you do? I don't care what you do.
We don't care.
Okay, we'll stop there. There's more.